Today's shiur will be beginning with the Mishnah found at the bottom of Daf Chof Amud Beis in Maseches Bava Basra. This Mishnah introduces what is in effect a very, very common problem amongst neighbors to this very day. That's the issue of noise. Noise that neighbors create one for the other. Chanus shebechotzer. A chotzer is an area onto which houses, private dwelling facilities, open. At some points in learning the Shas, it's necessary to contrast a chotzer with a movui, another type of semi-private area that houses ultimately open onto. In the sugya that we'll be learning today, we'll notice the two terms appearing and understood as different types of areas, a chotzer versus a movui. Movui often translated as some type of alleyway, sometimes it's closed, it's a dead end alleyway. And when you're learning Eruvin, you'll discover that a movui has many chatzeros that open onto it, and the chatzeros have houses opening onto the chatzeros open onto the movui. In this case, we're talking about a store that's in a chatzer. Yochol limchois biyodoi v'loy malo eini yochol lishoin mikol hanichnosim u'mikol hayoytzim. The other neighbors can say, I don't want you to have the store here because I can't sleep as a result of the noises from those that are entering and those that are leaving. Avol oisa kelim yotzei umocher besoy chashuk. However, in the chotzer, a person can have a facility where he manufactures articles. But as far as the sale of those articles, that he should do in the marketplace. At this point, it seems that the main objection is noise created by a population entering and exiting in order to purchase items. But as far as the manufacture of items, that's not something that's as problematic. V'eino yochol limchois biyodoi v'loy marlo eini yochol lishon lo mikol hapatish v'lo mikol harechayim v'lo mikol hatinoikos. With the exception of the last phrase here, this is constant with which was mentioned just before, that he cannot protest claiming that I can't sleep because of the banging of the hammer or the grindstone in operation. That's different than people coming to purchase, since he can't, that's the type of noise he can't protest. The last phrase was v'lo mikol hatinoikos. Nor can he protest that. Now the Hava Mina, and Rashi emphasizes this, that we're talking about children that come in to buy. Parents send them off to the store, so they're coming in to buy. And at this point in the Mishnah says that you can't protest the noise created by the purchasers. Or in the beginning of the Mishnah, we said that that's the type of thing you can protest. We'll have to leave that for the Gemara to resolve. The Gemara begins with this very point. Before we read the Gemara, let us take a look at the side where we have our topic heading. In the Shas Ozer edition, we try to offer topic headings for new sugyas as they come along, hence we recommend glancing from time to time to the side to see those introductory remarks. Here we have the nosei, liyashev haseifa imoresha, to resolve the end of the Mishnah with the beginning section, beinyan macho'o lipnei koiloiseihem shel hanichnosim lechotzer, regarding the issue of protesting the noise caused by those entering the chotzer. As we mentioned a moment ago, the ratio says that you are able to protest a neighbor that has a store where there are numerous people coming in to purchase. In the seifa, it was suggested that you cannot. Maishno ratio, maishno seifa. Omar Abaye. Abaye provides one approach. We'll see Rava suggesting something else. Omar Abaye Seifa Asa'on L'chotzer Acheres. The Seifa that said you cannot protest, it's not referring to protesting something in your chotzer. It's a function of your protesting noise coming from another chotzer. So we're telling you that you can't do. You can't be one living in this chotzer and start protesting noise coming from another chotzer. Amale Rava Ihachi, if that's the pshat in the seifa of the Mishnah, listeni, it should have stated chotzer acheres mutar. Should have said it like that. Seifa doesn't make any reference to a chotzer acheres. It says something about kol hatinoikos. Elo amar Rava Seifa asoon letinoikos shel beis rabon umitakonas Yehoshua ben Gamlo v'eilech. The seifa that says you cannot protest is referring to children that are coming to study. And we'll see later, the Gemara will find the point, study Torah in that particular chotzer. And this idea of having children studying in a chotzer is something that became a common phenomenon from the period of Yehoshua ben Gamla, who was a significant figure in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. Gemara in Yuma makes reference to him. From his time onwards, and we'll see in the Gemara here, his significance in the realm of Jewish education. As this Amud Gemara unfolds, we're going to find many references to issues of Jewish education. And many of these ideas ought to be borne in mind as one goes through life. Before we go on in the actual Gemara, it's noteworthy that there's a bracketed section that lasts quite a few lines. You can see that's noted by the vertical dashed dotted line that extends to almost halfway down the page. Let us take a look at some of our notations. First, the topic heading you find on the outside margin. It says Takonas Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla Sheichinuch Latero, that Torah education should be nagish, available, l'kol echod miyaldei Yisrael. Make Jewish education available to the masses. It wasn't always that way. As far as the bracketed section and why it appears, we'll note on the inside margin, we have a double asterisk, tam v'sograyim. The reason for these brackets? Miyad achareihem, immediately after these brackets. You have to glance down your page and you notice that meisve appears. Hagemora makshe meisve. Gemara raises a meisve question. Dehu kushyo al tshuvas rova kan. The question there will be a kasha on Rava's answer over here. In other words, we have Rava's answer over here, and there's going to be a kasha directly on Rava's answer, but where's the kasha? Many lines later. So to appreciate that, in the Shas Ozer pre-marked edition that many of you are using, you'll notice that it's much easier to appreciate the structure of the Gemara, the Meisvei there being a kasha on what we've just heard from Rava, that the Seifa of the Mishnah was dealing with children coming into a chotzer and you're not allowed to protest. They protest the noise. The note continues that we've made on the inside margin. B'seicha sograim muva hareka l'takonas Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla. Within the sograim, within the brackets,
has brought the background to the takona, to the provision that Rabbi Shimon Gabloa instituted. The Ode Meimros al Chinuch, and other comments dealing with the realm of education. What we're going to do now is to give a taste of the Gemara, a taste of the structure. We'll first skip the brackets, and we'll read one of the kashas that's going to be raised on Rava. There's the geometric form that you find around the Meisvei represents a series marking, and we'll note later that these are a series of questions on Rava's Hesper. So what we're going to do now is first we'll read the first one of the Meisvei to give a feeling of the flow. Meisvei. Echad mibnei chotzer. Notice we're reading about halfway down the page where the first house shape appears. There's a Tanaic source that says that Echad mibnei chotzer shebikesh lasois roifei umon vegardi umelamei tinoikos. One member of a chotzer wants to start one of these operations, become one of these professions, which we'll have to deal with later. One of them mentioned is a malame tino, because he wants to start teaching children. B'nei chotzer me'akvin olav. So, note what we've dashed underlined. As you know, in the Shas Ozer pre-marked edition, the dashed underline is to emphasize main points, and it figures to be a major marking when it comes to Tanaic sources that are brought in, and only one point therein is really necessary. In this case, it says that in the case of Malami Tinokos, the B'nei Chotzer can oppose. Rava said that a Malami Tinokos setup is something they cannot oppose. The Gemara will offer as an answer, Hocha b'mayaskina b'tinokos de'akum. It's not talking about Torah education. It's talking about some kind of educational setup to teach non-Jewish children mathematics, foreign languages, whatever children are accustomed to learning, but has nothing to do with Torah learning. When it comes to Torah learning, the members of the Chotzer cannot protest children coming to learn Torah in their midst. For the time being, we're going to go back now and read the entire Gemara straight through, starting from the beginning of the brackets. We mentioned that Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla made provisions in the realm of Jewish education. We're going to notice that he was a figure that appeared in the course of Jewish history. What's going to occupy us, what was there before? The Omar Rav Yehuda Marav, the Gemara at the beginning of the brackets from the second line says, Rav Yehuda Marav says, Baram in truth, Zohur Oisoi Ho'ish Latoiv Yeshua ben Gamla Shamo. Let us recall this man who's remembered for his wonderful acts. Shil Molehu, if not for him, Nishtakach Torah Yisrael. If not for him, Torah would have been forgotten from Klal Yisrael. Shebet Chila. In the beginning. Notice these geometric forms. Geometric forms in our Gemara pre-marked Shas Ozer Gemara edition indicates a series. You'll notice on the outside margin we have a note describing what this is going to be. The Mivneh notation says that this form, this volcano shape, Shlovim, they're these are stages. Ad Shebo, Rabbi Shua ben Gamla v'tikein takonos. Stages in Jewish history before he came along and made his takona. Of course, the last form of this shape will in fact be him coming along. The double underline, my dorush, will be attempts to understand how people understood psukim dealing with Torah education before he came along. How did they understand what we were being instructed to do? Apparently, we had a certain early understanding of how Jewish education should take place. And then when he came along, matters were changed. The Gemara continues. Shebetchila, mi sheyesh lo av. Lelamdo Torah, mi sheein lo av, lo hoyo lomei Torah. Someone who had a father would learn Torah. The father would teach him Torah. Someone who was fatherless, or for whatever reason the father wasn't able to teach him, didn't learn Torah. My Dorish, how did they understand? How did they understand things in the beginning? How did they understand the psukim? The pasuk says, "V'limadetem oisam," and literally, "You shall teach them." And they darshan the pasuk as follows: "V'limadetem atem." In other words, the father himself was instructed to teach his child. Pasuk says, "V'limadetem osam es b'neichem l'daber bom." It says, "Atem, you fathers, teach your sons." But beyond that, no one's instructed to teach. Hiskinu shu moshiv and malamde tinoikus b'Yerushalayim. They saw that there was a problem, and there was a certain amount of the population wasn't learning, so they established the following: that there should be educators, children educators, in Yerushalayim. A central location where people who didn't have the luxury of their fathers teaching them Torah would be able to go to learn. My Dorush Ki Mitzion Teitse Soira Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. From Zion, from Yerushalayim, comes forth Torah and Hashem's word. Before we go on into Gemara, Tosfos makes a noteworthy comment regarding Yerushalayim and its significance in Jewish education and in the Jewish experience. Let us take a look at Tosfos. Ki mitzion teitzei Torah. Lefi shehoya roya kedusha gedola. Person coming to Yerushalayim would see great holiness. The kohanim oiskin ba'avoda. And we're talking about a time when the Beis Hamikdash is around. They would see the kohanim involved with the holy service. Hoya mechaving libo yosel yiras shamayim v'lumo Torah. The pasuk had said from kimitzion teitzei Torah and dvar Hashem. You have apparently the pasuk is making a reference to two elements. You have Torah and dvar Hashem. So Tosfos is also making a reference to two elements. You have the yiras shamayim and the study of Torah. Kedadashinim b'sifri l'man tilmad lira v'chulei. That's a posuk, and it's in the context of Meiser Sheni. Godo Meiser Sheni shemevi lidei Talmud. What was Meiser Sheni? It was a tithe taken off of produce in the 7-year cycle. On the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the cycle, there was a Meiser Sheni tithe, and that was produce that was expected to be consumed in Yerushalayim, or it was redeemed, and the money therefrom was brought and spent in Yerushalayim. But the point being that the population was always in contact with Yerushalayim at some point in the year. How is it that Meister Sheni is maybe leaving Talmud with Yishaya Oymid Yerushalayim at Sheyocha Meister Sheni Shelo? He would dwell in Yerushalayim until he consumed his Meister Sheni. Meister Sheni, in effect, was approximately a tenth of his produce. So it would take, wouldn't be something come in for an hour snack. He would be there for a while until he consumed his Meister Sheni. Via Roya Shekulam Oiskim B'Mlecha Shamayim U'Vavoida. Yerushalayim was and ought to be a place of Mlecha Shamayim, of holy behavior, of serving Hashem. So hoya gam hu mechavein liras shamayim for oisek b'torah. The visitor who came to Yerushalayim would also be inspired by what he saw, and that would hold him over for the rest of the year when he went back home and continue learning Torah as a result of his Yerushalayim experience. Continuing in the Gemara, we mentioned that there had been an early provision that there should be Lami Tinoikis Yerushalayim. And we saw why. However, the Gemara continues, V'adayin mi sheyesh lo av, hoya ma'aloi umelamdoi, mi she'en lo av, lo hoya oyle velomei. The child wouldn't get to Yerushalayim on his own. His parent would bring him to Yerushalayim. So once again, the Yerushalayim takona, the Yerushalayim provision, was had a somewhat limited effect. Because only those who had the benefit of a parent to bring the child to Yerushalayim would benefit from the Yerushalayim takona. He who didn't have a father to bring him wouldn't go. Hiskinu shiyu moshivin b'chol plach u'plach. A plach is a geographic area that's larger than a medina. In other words, a plach contained numerous medinos. The takona therefore was that they set up educational facilities in every plach. Umachnisen oison keben tezayin keben yudzayin. And children who were 16, 17 years old would go to these places to study. Umi shohoya rabo ikoy esolov mevayit bo v'yetze. These facilities were set up for 16, 17 year olds to study. What would happen if the Rav expressed disdain or wrath, displeasure with the student? Don't we know how sensitive youth are to criticism? Nothing new. You see here in the Gemara itself, you start criticizing a 16, 17 year old, what does he do? He walks out and slams the door on you. That's what is expressed here. Mevayet bo, literally, kick him and leave. So, setting up or guaranteeing education for 16, 17-year-olds over a geographic expanse had its limitations as well. Ad shebor Yehoshua ben Gamla. His name is noteworthy, and as we've marked it, V'tikein shiu moshivin malamdei tinoikis b'chol medino medino b'chol ir v'ir. Notice these areas, medino medino, as opposed to plach u'plach. We've mentioned before that this is a more concentrated, more a smaller area, and not only in each medina, but in every city he established, there should be malamdei tinoikis u'machnisin oison keben sheish keben sheva. And since the distance from their homes was much less as a result of it being more in more concentrated areas, spread out in more local areas, you can have children, young children, also being afforded educational opportunities. So as you could see, the idea being, get the kid in pretty young, have him absorb a lot of Torah learning, that by the time he would reach 16 or 17, even if someone criticized him or something, still would be he would be loaded with a lot of Torah knowledge. We notice now a marking. The Gemara on the side says, under the Mivneh heading, Eitzois Shenosan Rav Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, who was a Malamed Tinoikos Yadua. These are pieces of advice given by Rav to Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, who was a well-known educator of children. In fact, we've seen him earlier in this Masechet as being an example of someone very dedicated to the service of children. Be'inyan Chinuch, Eitzis of Rav to this gentleman in the realm of Jewish education. In the Gemara, Omar le Rav le Rav Shmuel bar Shilas, ad shis lo tekabiu. Until the child is 6 years old, don't take him in. Mikan v'elech kabiu v'asfile ketura. From 6 onwards, take him in and feed him Torah, stuff him with Torah. Ketura, ketura means as an ox. Rashi explains as one places the yoke on an ox. In other words, and Rashi says this, says, Hechilu v'eshkeu Torah ba'al korchoi. You stuff him with Torah against his will. In other words, even if you see the kid isn't so interested in learning, you don't say to a kid, "Oh, I see you're not interested, go out and play." But rather, you educate him in Torah in a forceful fashion. Exactly how to define forceful fashion and all, that's a much, much broader topic. But for our purposes, it's one that you're not going to wait for the kid to show his interest and only then teach him. That might be true with adults, but as far as children are concerned, get on with the job. The Omer LeRav, LeRav Shmuel Bar Shilas, Ki Mochis LiYanuka. The Gemara here deals with a very, very sensitive topic, and it has to do with what's called corporal punishment, hitting children. And we're not talking about parents here, we're talking about the Malame Tinoikos. Says, and Rav says, one may execute corporal punishment, but not with great force. It has to be restrained. And how is that described here? Ki mochis liyanuka, when you hit a child, lo timchi elo ba'araksa de misana. Don't hit him unless you're using this strap that's associated with shoes, a shoe strap. The nature of this was a thin type material, and when hitting the kid, you hit him lightly. The kori, who would start learning as a result of this, fine, that's good. The low kori, there's some kids that even with that wouldn't learn effectively. Nevertheless, don't throw them out. Levi Sabso Lechavre. Let him serve as being a company for his friends. Many, many people need a social environment in which to learn. So those that are learning will benefit from these kids. They'll serve as adding to the social experience, the feeling of a crowd. But there's more to it than that. Rashi says, Leve Savso Lechavre, Einho Zokukli Yasro Yoiser Midai. You don't have to afflict the kid more than necessary. So we mentioned you are able to carry out some form of light corporal punishment, but not to overdo it, Feloi Lisalkoi Milifonecho, nor throw him out. Elo yeshev imhu achirim b'savso, and note what Rashi says, and you didn't see this in the Gemara, v'soifoi losei slave. And in the end, he will start paying attention. You have to have patience. In other words, it's not all passive here. The teacher does take some type of initiative, and it, as far as the Gemara is concerned, it may even be of a physical nature, not too intense. And also, don't throw him out. He'll come around later on. Quite a bit of food for thought. At this point in the Gemara, you can see that the bracketed section ends, and we turn our attentions back to the general sugya, namely, pshat, regarding the end of the Mishnah that said that one cannot protest the kol hatinoikos. Rava explained, what is it that you cannot protest? You cannot protest children coming in to learn Torah in a particular chotzer. The Gemara has a series of questions, and they're featured by this geometric form. Notice on the side, the mivneh. Let us read what we have written there to serve as an introduction. These are kushyos al tshuvas Rava barosha amud, questions on Rava's answer that appeared at the top of the page. Ha Gemara mevio kan mekoyrois. The Gemara is going to bring sources. De mashma de bnei chotzer yecholim limchois shelo yehei etzlo malami tinokis. It would seem from these sources that protests can be made, that there shouldn't be the malami tinokis in their midst. Reading the Gemara, Meisvei, echod mibnei chotzer. Shebikesh lasois roife. Roife is a mohel, someone who circumcises. Uman, he's the equivalent of a doctor in the time of the Gemara. A very popular form of medicine was bloodletting. That's called a mekiz dam. That's an uman. Vigari, a weaver. Umalame tinoikos. So, a member of the chotzer that wants to practice one of these professions, b'nei chotzer ma'akvin olav. B'nei chotzer can protest, can prevent him. Rashi says, ma'akvin olav, b'nei shemar ba'aleim kol nichnotzen v'yotzen. He says, if one of the members of the chotzer becomes one of these things, he's going to cause an increase of people entering their area. This is a kasha on Rava, because it says here, Malami Tinoikus Ma'akvin. Rava would have said the otherwise. The Gemara answers on behalf of Rava, Hocha b'mayaskinon, the Tinoikus Ta'akum. We're not talking about Torah education, hence no kasha on Rava. Toshma, Shnayim Shiyoshvin b'chotzer, Ubikesh Echod Me'em Lasois Roife v'Uman v'Gardi. Very similar to the source before. U Malami Tinoikus. One of these fellows wants to become a malame tinokus, it's an educator of children. Chaveru ma'akev alav. He can protest. No more answers. Hochanami betinokus da'akrum. This source, too, is concerning Gentile children. That's something that if there is not agreement amongst the neighbors, there can be protest. Toshma, another source. Mi shiyeshlo bayis bechotzer hashutvin. Hareze lo yaskirenu, lo leroife, v'lo leuman, v'lo legardi, v'lo lesoifer yehudi, v'lo lesoifer armoi. Person who has a home in a jointly held chotzer, he's instructed not to rent out his home to these different professions. What we need to emphasize, and as you can see in the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition, this phrase, sofer tina yehudi, is dashed underlined. We're understanding Sofer Yehudi at this point to be a Malame Tinoikos. And here you can't give the answers that we've given before, because here you have Sofer Yehudi in contrast with Sofer Armoi be Gentile. So for neither one can one rent out his facility. The Gemara answers, Hocha b'maaskin b'sofer maso. As far as defining this term, we'll look first at Rashi. The Sofer Maso, Rashi says, Malame Tinoikus Soir, he's like the municipal child educator. However, because of his lofty position, he's the municipal child educator. Moishiv Malamdim Tachtov, Vu Moira Es Kulam Eich Yasu. He actually educates educators. He teaches people how to educate children. So, and the problem there is, he says, V'yeshom kol gadol. It almost sounds from here as if adults make more noise than kids. But whatever the case is, it could be because of his position, there's just as many, many people are drawn to his classes, and that's what's grounds for protesting. There's a discussion in the Tosfos as far as the pshat in Sofer Maso. When it says Sofer Yehudi, it's referring to Sofer Maso. He rejects a couple of pshotim that he found in Rashi in different spots. There's a Tosfos in the lower part of the page. We won't be learning the entire Tosfos. However, you notice in that Tosfos there's a double underline that appears twice. It says Ein Lefarish, Ein Nira Lefarish Kapir Shakuntris. That's one, and then two lines after, the Ein Lefarish Nami Kapir Shekunshis in Masechas Bava Metzia, a second Rashi explanation that he does not want to accept. We'll look at the third diamond in that Tosfos, Elo Nira Kemosha Pirish Rabbeinu Hananel, the Rach's explanation. Sofer Maso, Koisev Shtoro Soir. He's in charge of preparing documents in that town. With the Rach's explanation, one will be able to better understand a Gemara mentioned later, which Tosis makes reference to. He says, "Ulahochi choshev leila kaman pseida de lohodar im nichtav ashtar shelo kedin." Later, the Gemara talks about different types of professions where they can cause irreparable loss. The sugya later on, those who cause irreparable, possibly in their professional life, the damage they cause is of an irreparable nature. So someone who prepares inaccurate documents can be classified as that, because the losses that are suffered therefrom might be irreparable. Okay, but for our purposes, we'll continue in the Gemara having at least Rashi's pshat, Sofer Maso being the educational seminar where he's instructing other educators how to teach. That's different than Rava's case. So Rava said, what cannot be protested? A facility whereby children come to learn. The neighbors in the chutzner cannot protest that. Other types of educational activities, there can be protested. Continuing in the Gemara, of course, we note another geometric form, in this case triangles. These geometric forms in the Shas Ozer edition tell you that we have a series in front of us. In this case, as you scan the page, which is something we often advise using these Gemaras, not to be fixated on one line, but allow your eye to scan, to move around, to see the beauty of the Talmudic structure, you'll notice that the position of the triangle changes. The note at the outside margin serves to explain the Nosei Mivne, which lasts till Amud Beis. The triangle with the point up is our main row shall Rava Benosei Chinuch. Rava comments with regard to education. With the point down, Mekoymus Sheravdimi Choylek Olav. We'll find Ravdimi disagrees with him on a couple of points. I have found that it's of value to note particularly Rava's comments. For Rava, throughout the Shas, you find is highly attuned to issues of Torah education. For those of us who are seeking a derech in learning, to know the order in which one should go about his Torah learning, what should come first, what should come second, and other numerous topics regarding Torah learning, you'll note that Rava addresses these questions possibly more, I haven't studied it that thoroughly, but possibly more than anyone else. I also would like to note that Rava is one of the most prominent figures in all of the Shas. In fact, the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Ayin Zayin, presents Rava as being the Harifa Sakina, a very sharp knife, meaning someone who's very sharp and analytical. He reached the heights of Torah learning, which involves not only hekif, widespread knowledge, but also powers of iyun, of analysis. And being that the case, when one wants to himself grow in Torah learning, achieve heights in Torah learning, it might be worthwhile noting the suggestions offered by someone who himself actually achieved those goals. That having been said, we start the Gemara with Rava, Amar Rava, Mitakonas Rabbi Yeshua ben Gamla. Let me read that again. Mitakonos Yehoshua ben Gamla v'Eilach. From his point on, and we had seen earlier on the Omid that he was one who instituted educational provisions. Lo mamtino yenuka mimasa lamasa. One is not to have a child travel from town to another town, from town to town, in order to learn. He provided that in each town you have an opportunity. So don't bring him from town to town. And you'll ask, so why not? So Rashi explains about halfway down, Lo mamtinan yanuka mimasa lamasa lumoid miyoim liyoim. could be that if there's a dormitory facility, maybe that would be all right, because Rashi's describing on a daily basis. Why not? Shema yuzak bedrochin. Traveling has its dangers. Which dangers? Shehasoton mekatreg b'shas ha-sakona. Shenemar pen yikrenu ason. Traveling, as you can see already from the time of Yankiv Ovinu, he was concerned about the dangers in the course of travel. Elo yuchal lochuf b'nei oisei maso lohoishiv malamdei tinoikos. People who have children can force the other members of the community to ensure that in this particular town there should be a place of Torah learning for the children. Continuing in the Gemara, we just said not to have the child travel from town to town. However, avol mibei knishto lebei knishto mamtinon. The name Knishta often translated as a shul, a base knesses, that's the place where children learned. But to have them travel from one shul to another shul, that is okay. Could be that there might be a shul immediately located next to one's house, and there's a shul further away, and the parent would prefer having the child learn in a shul further away, that would be okay. However, v'i mafsik naro lo mamtinon. If, however, between your location and the shul that you're interested him in going, you don't have the kid cross the river. V'i iko titura mamtinon. If, however, there's a broad bridge, a wide bridge over the river, then okay, then you mamtinon, you can bring him there. V'iko gamlo lo mamtinon. However, if there's a narrow board serving as a bridge, then you're not allowed. V'yoma Rava. Another comment of Rava. Sach makri dardiki esrim v'chamisha yanuki. The proper number of children for a classroom for the Malamed Tinokas to deal with is 25. The Rashi says, Sach makri dardiki minyan tinoikos horu'uyin lemalamed echor. The number for that's fit for one to deal with is 25. So you'll ask, what about? What's the story with less than 25? What about more than 25? The Gemara goes on, we'll touch on some of these points, but before that, let's take a look at the Tosfos at the bottom of the Omid. Sach mikri dardiki chof heyenuki. Avol pachos mikan, if you have a situation of less than 25, ein b'nei ho'ir yechoylim lochuf ze ezer lahaskir lohem olamei. Less than 25, then members of the town cannot force one another to hire a teacher. Once there are 25 kids, then pressure can be placed one on the other to contribute to having a teacher, to hiring him. Continuing in the Gemara. V'iiko chamshin, if you have a situation where there are 50 children that need to be taught, moisvinon trei. At that point, you should have two teachers. V'iiko arboyin, let's say we have a situation where we've got 40 children. Mukminon Reish Duchna, then you hire a gentleman called Reish, a profession called Reish Duchna. What's that? It's a teacher's assistant. We'll take a look at Rashi. Reish Duchna, Shoimea im hatinoikos mipi hamalamed. He sits there listening to the class along while the teacher is teaching. V'choizer umashgiroi, from the word shogur, umashgiroi b'fi hatinoikos. He then does a chazora shiur. He then goes over the lesson so it becomes fluent in the mouths of the tinoikos. V'oisoi reish duchna noitel sachar. And then the reish duchna, after he does his job, he also gets paid for it. So what we're concerned with here is hiring, the hiring and paying of teachers and teachers' assistants. As you can see from the Rashi description, we're very concerned with fluency as well. We'll see more about this, fluency and accuracy, as the Gemara goes on. The Gemara says, "Umisayin le mimasa." That means the fee that he is to be paid with comes from the public coffer. The Omar Rava, Hai Mikri Yanuki, Degoris, the Iko Achrina Degoris Tfei Mine. You have one teacher that covers a certain amount of ground, and another teacher that covers more. He's Goris Tfei. Lo Misalkinon Lei. You don't remove the slower one, because if you remove the slower one and put in the faster one, Dilma Osi Lis Rishuli. Take a look at Rashi. Dilma Osi Lis Rishuli, Yispoyer Belibo. He'll have a sense of pride. Shein Kamoso, I'm the best one. In fact, the one who covers more ground is the better one. However, if you put him in this position, there's an alternative fear that he'll start feeling a little too comfortable with himself. He won't have the fear in his heart of his position being threatened. He'll feel, oh, I was put in to replace someone else. I must be the greatest. And as such, I've got nothing to worry about, and I'll take it easy on the job. We don't want teachers to take it easy. In other words, the ultimate goal is that accurate, that proper education should take place. Even if in this case it be the expense of having the better guy, the one who covers more ground, not being there, so be it. However, Rav Dimi disagrees and says, Rav Dimi Minardo Omar, he says, by all means, remove the first guy. Put in the one who covers more ground. As everyone agrees, that's the better thing. In terms, objectively speaking, one who covers more ground is the choice situation. As far as what you are concerned with, it'll become too comfortable in his position, thinking he's the greatest. Just the opposite. Kol Shekein Degoris Tfei. He'll all the more be diligent in his teaching. Why? Kinas Sofrim Tar Bechochma. The jealousy of sages increases wisdom. How do we translate that into our context? Let's take a look at Rashi. Kol Shekein Kishe Chashvenuhu. At the point that we gave him a feeling of importance, Yitein Lev Yos Lomeid Yofe. He's going to be all the extra diligent in his teaching. Shedoyeg Mikinas Chavero Shesilkuhu Miponov Sheyavayishenu Vivnei Hoir. The guy who was kicked out of his position, he's sitting there on the sidelines just waiting for the opportunity to get back, so to speak, at the guy who replaced him, to the extent to even embarrass him in public. So, if you want to achieve maximum results from your educators, Rav Dimi is saying there's nothing wrong in removing someone from his position in order to get a better person in his place. The replacement person will be very concerned about slipping up, because he knows there's just someone, who the guy just removed, just waiting there to pounce on him. But you can see from this discussion that in choosing a method of education, we're very interested in the issue of covering a lot of ground. Let's continue in the Gemara. V'omar Rava, Hani Trei Mikri Dardiki. You have two educators, and you have to make a choice. I want to emphasize that we're going to talk about making a choice between two less than optimal options. Two choices. Neither one is the best option. But I have to make a choice between two bidi'evets. What are the two bidi'evets? Chad goris velo dayik. One covers a lot of ground, but he's not precise. The chad dayik velo goris. The other one practices precision, but he doesn't cover much ground. Rava says, Moisvina nahu de goris velo dayik. Rava says, you should opt for the one that covers more ground. And you can see, as we explained before, that that's the covering of ground is very significant. And Rava, in the previous comment, also felt that way. He was just concerned about what happens if you remove him and replace him with someone who, in fact, does that in the best way. However, objectively speaking, covering ground is very significant. So if you have a fellow who covers ground but's not precise in his teaching, so don't worry about the imprecision. Why is that? Shabeshta memeilo nafka. Rava is of the opinion that mistakes in the course of time fall away. Their mistakes go away. They're repaired in the course of time. Whereas the more you learn, the more sensitive you become to accuracy, and things that you might have learned incorrectly in the past are fixed in the regular course of learning. Rav Dimi disagrees. Rav Dimi Narado Omar, Moisfinon de Dayek Velo Goritz. If you have this bidi'evet situation and you have to choose between accuracy and covering ground, choose the accuracy. Shabeshta Kevan de Earl. Rav Dimi is fearful of the following, that a mistake, once it's learned, it becomes ingrained. And then one keeps going on through life with the mistake. We see a bracketed section here. The truth is, in this case, the bracketed section is not really for the purpose of skipping, because the Gemara is a straight flow of what was just said. We're going to deal with the issue of accuracy and the importance of accuracy. However, the reason we have these sograim, these brackets, is to create a sense of continuity in the series of Rava comments, so that when you cover all of these lines of Gemara, eventually you get to Amud Beis, the upper part of the page, where you can see with the benefit of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition, the triangle that appears, you know that Rava's comments, the series of comments, continues. We noted this on the outside margin with the asterisk note of why these brackets appear. We attempt in the Shas Ozer pre-marked edition to explain the presence of brackets as they come along. What have we written there? Hasograim einom l'shem dilug. The sograim here do not serve to facilitate an initial skipping. Elo matorosim lishmor al retzef hameimros shel Rava. The purpose is to preserve the sense of continuity of the series of Rava comments. Therefore, when you get to this point in the Gemara, you see the brackets. You'll see, I'm going to just momentarily skip, not to skip in the reading, just my eye should skip and catch the next Rava comment on Amud Beis. The comment note continues, Besocha Sograim Rav Dimi Mevi Hoy Chocholid Vorov, that Shabeshto Kivon to Earl Ol. Within the Sograim, within these brackets, Rav Dimi will bring proof or support to his idea that a mistake, once learned, becomes ingrained. So we will continue with the Gemara straight through from the bottom of Chof Aleph Amud Aleph. Dichtiv. This section is going to describe an incident in Sefer Melachim where there was a battle between the Jews and the Edomites, from whom there came Amalek. We know that in the case of a battle with Amalek, all of the Amalek population must be eradicated, as the Torah orders. Yoav, in the battle described here, he kills the males. He doesn't eliminate all of the population as the Torah would instruct him. Why didn't he do what the Torah would expect of him? We'll see that in the Gemara. Dichtiv, ki sheshes chadoshim yoshav shom Yoav v'chol Yisrael ad hichris kol zochor be'edom. 6 months went by until Yoav killed all of the males of Edom. He also the kame to David, Amale, when Yoav, who was the general, came to David, Amale, my taimo abdis hachi. Why is it that you did not kill the females? Amale, Yoav answers, Dichtiv, Timche es. There's a word here, Zayin Chof Reish. Timche es. That word. And he mistakenly read it as Zohar Amalek. Says the Torah says, Timche es Zohar Amalek. That's incorrect, what we just said. But that's what Yoav said. I killed the males because the Pasuk says, eradicate the males of Amalek. Amale, so David said back, Bo'anan Zecher Karinan. We read it not looking at the printed letters, the written letters per se, but the way we read it is Zecher. That's how we read it. And that would refer to the memory of, the presence of Amalek. Eliminate the Zecher Amalek. So if you read the Pasuk like we would read it when reading the Torah, you would read Timche es Zecher Amalek. Including, of course, all of the population. Amale, so Yoav says back, Ano Zohar Akriyun. I was taught Zohar. That's what you were taught. Ozal Shaile the Rabbe. So Yoav went and asked his master, his Rav, Amale, Heich Akrison. Yoav asked him, how did you teach us? Amale, Zecher. What just happened here? Don't forget, we're in the middle of a sugya dealing with a Malamed Tinoikos that is not medayik. Rav Dimi's trying to point out how important it is to have a Malamed Tinoikos that's medayik. What does it mean to be a Malamed Tinoikos that's medayik? It doesn't mean just that in his conveying of the information that he's accurate. He also has to listen to the children, review with them their learning, to hear that they picked it up. We saw Rashi make reference to this when we saw the Reish Duchna. Rashi on Omid Aleph also mentions, if we look at the bottom there, it says the Goris Velodayik, Sheloy made Harbe Velodayik Belimud Hatinoikos Shelo Yishtabshu. He's not careful with them that they shouldn't err. The Gemara goes on, the story goes on Omid Beis. After hearing that the Rebbe, in effect, taught accurately, how is it that he got it wrong? As we just mentioned, it's the Rebbe didn't listen to him sufficiently to hear how he picked it up. Well, Shokal Safsiro Lemiktale, Yoav drew his sword to kill him. Amale Amai. So the Malamed said, what are you doing? Amale, Yoav answered, Dichtiv, Orur, Oise, Meleches, Hashem, Remia. Cursed be the one that deals with the holy work, Meleches Hashem. Teaching children Torah is nothing short of Meleches Hashem, who does it remia, in an underhanded way. Omale, so the Malamid says back, Shavke Lahu Gavra, says referring to himself, leave him be, the Lekum Be'orur, that let him suffer the curse, but continue living. The punishment is to be cursed. You don't have to kill me. Omale, Yoav says back, Siv, the continuation of the pasuk is V'orur Monea Harbo Midam. Cursed be the one that doesn't draw his sword, that doesn't kill the person that needs to be killed. So what happened? Iko Diamri, Katle, one version, one opinion is that he actually killed him. The Iko Diamri Lo Katle. Another version is that he didn't kill him. At this point, then, we've seen Rav Dimi illustrate the significance of the Rav being daik. What does being daik mean? Listening to the children review their learning to make sure they got it accurately. Continuing in the Gemara, the Omar Rava, Makri Yanuka, Shasla, he's one who plants, who's hired to plant trees. Tabcha, a shoychet, someone who's a slaughterer, kosher of kosher animals, which a lot of halachas that are associated with proper kosher slaughtering. The umna, bloodletter, the sofer maso. We saw Tosfos explain that as the scribe who prepares documents, legal, financial documents. Kulon, each one of these professionals, kemusrin, from the word hasra'a, musrin, hasra, warned. They're considered pre-musrin v'oindinin, they're considered pre-warned. If you find them making a mistake or right erring in their profession, they can be removed without warning. That's the expression, musrin v'oindinin. Klola de milsa, the rule to be made from all of these examples, kol seda de lohoder musri v'oimedhu. All types of irreparable losses are considered pre-warned. Tosis at the very top, Sofer Masa, he says, Lo kemo shepiresh bekuntris koisev sefer Torah betos. Not like that. Rashi explains Sofer Masa as being one who prepares Torah scrolls and has a mistake in them. The Ainzip say to the Lohodar, that is not considered irreparable. Lost the Yecholim Lahagioi. Can be fixed. Torah scroll can be fixed. Ella, what then is the shot that Tosfos opts for? Ella ki deprecious li'el, as Tosfos explained on Omid Aleph, and we made reference to that Tosfos already. Koisei shtoros, person who prepares the legal documents. Another point that we want to bring out that for many of us is of central significance in how one goes about learning, you will find the discussion in the second Tosfos on the page, Mikri Dardiki. Mikri Dardiki, the Gemara described as someone who can wreak irreparable damage. What's the irreparable damage that a Makri Dardiki can cause? Bear in mind that we're in the middle of Rava comments. It's important as we look at the Tosfos. Umikri Dardiki, we have diamonds around the two opinions Tosfos presents. Pirish Bekuntris Behamakabil, in that's the name of a perek in Bava Metzia, Tavi Pseida de Lohodra. Why is a Mikri Dardiki guilty? If he errs, he's guilty of damage that's irreparable. Mishum de shabeshto kivan de ol. That that a mistake, once it becomes ingrained, that's it. That's the loss. Did you see this expression today? Yes. You saw this expression. Who used this expression? Rav Dini used this expression. He used this in the context of why you should choose a Rebbe, a teacher that's accurate and doesn't cover ground. That was not Rava's opinion. Rava opted for the one that covers ground, and he wasn't concerned with the issue of the mistake. Rava was one who felt the mistake will go away in the course of time. Don't forget, Rava also is one who achieved the heights of analysis in his learning. We made reference to that earlier in today's shir. The Gemara in Chulin describes him as Harifa Sakina. He was very sharp and analytical in his learning. So, bearing that in mind, we continue with the Tosfos. The Kosha the Ri. The Ri has difficulty with Rashi's Pshat in Bava Metzia. The Harava Gufei, Rava himself Islay Liel, he held earlier on Omid Aleph the Shabeshta Memela Nafka, that a mistake goes away on its own. Therefore, that's not a problem of irreparable damage that a Malamed Tinoikus might cause. Fiomeri, Dabe Pseida de Lohodar, the problem that Malami Tinoikis could be guilty of a damage that's called irreparable is not the issue of the what the children absorb per se. Rather, the oisa shah shemalame lohem to'ois, at the moment, the time that he's teaching them something that's inaccurate, hein misbatlim. Mistake. Learning a mistake is not Torah. Torah is described as emes kinei v'al timkar. Torah is emes. If someone starts holding forth, imagine a magnificent drasha on the Hanukkah holiday. Why are there 9 days of Hanukkah? And he goes on to describe Hanukkah is like the rebirth of the Jewish people. Hanukkah is a time like the rebirth. A child is born after 9 months. How wonderful an experience that is. How refreshing it is. All that wonderful drasha is a big lie. Because Hanukkah is not a 9-day holiday. Holding forth like that, it's not Torah. Torah is truth, not a lie. So time spent learning inaccuracy, what does Tosfos call it? That's lost time. You can't bring back that time. What lesson is there for us to learn from this? So, one's opinion might be that if you have an option to learn something accurately, you have the option of using learning aids, different things that are available in the realm of learning to gain accuracy, whether it be a fine translation, whether it be charts, diagrams, markings, etc., tape recordings, all kinds of electronic media that one might employ in learning to get his accuracy, he has to use it. It's not just a convenient option. Because if you don't use it, and you're learning at that time a mistake by refusing, by resisting, I don't want to use the translation, I want to figure it out on my own. But when you're trying to figure it out on your own, you might be learning a mistake. And while learning a mistake, that's not Torah. Of course, what we're saying is in the context where you have these devices available. If you're on a desert island and you're without anything except for a text that's unpunctuated, untranslated, you have no one to ask. So then you have to figure it out on your own. But short of that, it's highly questionable. What is the categorization of learning during which time what you're learning is not accurate when you have the option of gaining immediate accuracy. Based on this Tosfos, and we'll just read that again for the purpose of emphasis, the Oisashah Shemalameh Lahem Tos Haim Misbatlin. What we've done in the marked editions, we've offered heavy emphasis on two words. Tos, misbatlin. Mistake is bittul Torah. And oisa sha'en yecholin lahasulam. That's gone time. That's lost time forever. So in one's learning, the burden of justification would be upon those who resist using learning assistance devices. Anything from the realm of translations to audio assistance, etc. Continuing in the Gemara, we have a new sugya. A very hot topic is found here, and that has to do with competition. Can I open up competition next to an existing enterprise? We'll take a look at... We will glance at our topic heading, the Nosei Klali, Tacharut Beparnosa Upsichas Asokim, competition in business and the opening of business enterprises. The next heading you find, the Nosei, is a reference to Rav Huna and his din. It says there on the side of your Gemara, Dinoi Shel Rav Huna, Ben Movui Ze Shieshlo Esek, Kayom, an Esek of a Rechayim. He has an existing grinding operation where people come, pay him a fee, and he grinds their grains. Osur Leben Oisoi Movui, Osur Afilu Leben Oisoi Movui, Liftoach Esek Mitchare. It would be forbidden even for a member of the same Movui, someone who you would think has privileges because he's a member of this same Movui, even so, if there was a fellow that already had a running business, this fellow of the same Movui cannot open competition. And certainly be forbidden for an outside person, a member of another Mavui, to come here and open competition. You notice there's a reference to another geometric form, a diamond. The diamond in our pre-marked Gemara edition suggests a series or something of a repetitive nature that will be taking place. In this case, we're going to be highlighting the stages of the Gemara in approaching Shitas Rav Huna. Let's read what we have written on the side. Shlavim shel hityachasut ha-Gemara le-Rav Huna. Stages of the Gemara's approaching Rav Huna's din. The first stage will incorporate the first two diamonds, Shnei Nisyonois L'Shayech Dinoi L'Makuris Tanoim. There'll be two attempts to try to associate Rav Huna with Tanaic sources. The first of these two diamonds will try to bring a support for Rav Huna. The second one will be an attempt to say that Rav Huna seems to go like only one of several Tanoim, namely only like Rav Yehuda and not like the Chachomim. The second stage of Gemara will be the third diamond, and it's around the word Meisvei. We've noted on the outside margin, Meisvei, Makshe al Rav Huna. The Gemara will be asking on Rav Huna. And the final stage, Tanoi, whereby the Gemara says that the din of Rav Huna is the subject of a machlokes Tanoim. Let us take a look now in the Gemara. Omer Rav Huna, Hai Bar Mavua De'uki Rechaya, a member of an alley. These Mavuis were alleyways, opening onto the alleyways were houses in Chatzeros. So a member of this community, of this Mavui, Oki Rechaya, he established a grinding facility, and as we said earlier, he would grind people's grains for a fee. The Osabar Mavuach Avrei V'Kamuki Gabei. And another member of the same Mavui came along and established a similar operation. Dinahu Dema'akev Iluya Di Omale Kopaskis Le Lechiusi. According to the letter of the law, the first operator can oppose the second fellow opening up his competition with the claim, Kopaskis Le Lechiusi, you're interfering with my livelihood. The Gemara asks, Lemo Mesayale, and we noted on the side of the Gemara between the Gemara and the Tosis, this is a three-line question. Lemo being a term suggesting a suggestion, but most often in the Shas will ultimately be rejected. Terms like Lemo, Amo, Nemo, etc. Lemo Mesayale, let us suggest, or can we bring as support for Rav Huna the following Tanaic source? Marchikin mitzudas hadag min hadag kemelo ritzas hadag. This source is dealing with fishermen and their setting up of their nets and traps. A fisherman who has set up his nets in a particular area of water must make sure that he distances himself from other fishermen that set up their nets, each fisherman keeping at a distance of meloi ritzas hadag. Vekamo, what is that distance? Omar rabo bar Rav Huna ad parsa. The distance of a parsa, which is 4 mil, several kilometers. What do we see from this source? That when one has established some income operation, others must keep at a distance, not to open up, not to set up their facilities in the immediate vicinity. The Gemara, however, feels that the nature of fishermen and their nets and their catching of the fish is different than the two grinding operations. The Gemara says, shiny dog, in the case of the fisherman is different, diavi siara. To understand this idea of yavi siara, we'll take a look at Rashi. We'll start with Rashi on the upper part of the page, marchikin mitzudas hadag min hadag, tzayid, a trapsman, shenosan einov bedag, ad shehikir choro, where this trapsman became so well acquainted with the fish in the area that he also noted where they have their hole. Apparently some place underwater where the fish go and have a source of food. Marchikin sh'ar tzayodin mitzudosin misham. Other fishermen must stay away from this one. Almo afagavdelo zocha bay, even though the fisherman hasn't actually caught these fish yet, velo moto liyode, and they haven't arrived in his hands, he merely has set up his nets. Marchikin misham, the others are instructed to keep away, stay away, set up their traps at a distance. The omale, because the first fisherman has the claim of kopaskis lechiyusi, you're interfering with my livelihood. We thought at that point in the Gemara that we could parallel Rav Huna to this din of the fish. The Gemara then had said, shiny dogim diavisya, Rashi explains, noisnim ayin behabotam, liois regilim lorutz lemokoim sheroushom mezoinois. The fish have eyed a place in the water where they know that they have food waiting for them. Hilkach, kevon shehikir ze choroi, since the fisherman noted where the fish go, he knows the line of swimming, line of travel that these fish will pursue. Fenosan mitzuda umezoinois besoich melo ritzaso, and he placed his nets at a point between the fish and where their hole is, botuachu shiokedenu. The fisherman is certain, he feels guaranteed that he will catch these fish. The havele kemnan de moto liyode. It is as if they're already in his possession. And therefore, when the fellow fisherman comes and places nets nearby, benimso chavero maziko, it's as if the fellow fishermen are taking from the first one that which is already in his hands, already in his possession. Avol hocha, in the case of the grinders, mi shebo etzli yavo, umi shebo etzlicho yavo. As far as the grinders are concerned, there's a population of potential customers. No one potential customer is already in the hands of any one particular grinder. Therefore, whoever comes to me, comes to me. Whoever comes to you, comes to you. Continuing in the Gemara, Amar le Ravina le Rava, Lema Rav Huna di Amar Karebi Yehuda. Can we suggest that Rav Huna follows the opinion of Rav Yehuda and not the Rabbonan, the Snan? Rav Yehuda Omer, Lo yechalek chenvoni kloyos ve'egoizim letinoikos, that neshemar gilon lavoy etzlo, v'chachomim matirin. According to Rav Yehuda, a particular store owner should not distribute to the children kloyos ve'egoizim, roasted grains, nuts, in contemporary terms, candies, cookies. You shouldn't distribute all kinds of goodies to lure the children to their shops. The Chachamim allow. What would the parallel be between Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Huna? Rabbi Yehuda, as you can see in this source, doesn't want interference between different stores. Rav Huna also, if you opened up a grinding operation, we don't want others to interfere with him. The Chachamim, as opposed to Rav Yehuda, have a more liberal attitude. Therefore, we're trying to suggest that Rav Huna, in his restrictive approach to competition, parallels Rav Yehuda, who also seemed to restrict the taking or the luring of customers from one shop to another. The Gemara says, "Afilu teimo Rabbonan." We don't have to restrict Rav Huna to Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Huna could fit in with the Shitas of Rabbonan with regard to distributing goodies and incentives to potential customers. Ad kan lo pligi Rabbonan olei de Rabbi Yehuda hasam. The machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan over there in the case of the distribution of incentives, Elo di Omale, Ano ka mefalgina amguzi, ad plog shivski. The Chachamim feel that they can be more liberal in their approach in the case of the distribution of candies, because the one who started distributing whatever it was distributing says, I am giving out nuts, you can give out almonds. As far as the Chachamim are concerned, where competition potential is balanced, where there isn't an infringement of one upon the other, the practice can continue. Aval hocha. However, in the case of the grinder, where one fellow clearly set up his operation first, as Rashi emphasizes, shezeh he'emi tchila, he set up his operation first, and that was his source of income. Afilu Rabbanan Modu, even the Rabbanan who were liberal in the case of the candy distribution, will agree with Rav Huna, the Amale, the first grinder, has the claim, Kopaskis Le Lichayusi. You are interfering with my livelihood. Meisvei. At this point, as we offered in our introduction, the Gemara now attacks Rav Huna with the following Tanaic source. Oise Odom, Chanus bitzad chanusu shechavero, u'merchotz bitzad merchotzu shechavero. Person can open up a shop next to his neighbor. Person can open up a bathhouse next to his neighbor's bathhouse. And we're talking about facilities that people received payment. V'eino yochol limchois biyodo. And the original fellow cannot challenge the second one. V'nei sheyochol lomar lo, ata oise besoch shelcho, v'ani oise besoch sheli. You are doing whatever you're doing in your property. I am going to do whatever I want on my property. The Gemara, at this point, needs to find some type of defense in order for Rav Huna to maintain his position. Because at this point, he's under fire from a Tanaic source. Rav Huna, being an Amora, is in trouble. The Gemara answers, on behalf of Rav Huna, Tanoihi, that this is a machlokas Tanoim. The topic that we're discussing is a controversy amongst Tanoim, and hence Rav Huna will have on whom to rely. Desanya. The following source has in it the Tanakama, and eventually we'll see Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, who you can see underlined at the end of the source. We'll eventually see that Rav Huna will conform to Shitas Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, who is very restrictive in what he allows. The source begins, Koifin b'nei mevuois ze eze, a person coming from another mavui to this mavui, can be restrained. Shelo lahoshiv b'neim lo chayed v'lo burski v'lo malametinoikos v'lo echod mibnei balei umenios. Members of this mavui can object to other mavuis not to come here and open a tailor shop or a tannery or not be a malametinoikos or any of the other professions. Ulishchenoi enoi koifeo. However, to a member of the same mavui, if someone of a particular mavui had an up-and-running operation, and a member of the same mavui wanted to open up competition, so the first one cannot object. This is not like Rav Huna. However, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel omer af lishcheno kofehu. According to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, even if it's a member of the same mavui, and one of them had opened up an operation, he can object to the second one opening competition. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new marking, the double underline, also part of the series marking concept, drawing our attention to the existence of another one of these double underlines. What are we featuring? We're featuring Rav Huna Breider of Yeshua. We'll also take a look at our comments on the outside margin, the Nosei and Mivneh. The topic is Tacharut v'asokim, competition in businesses. The double underline, the Rav Huna Breider of Yeshua, Shnei Haktzavos Pshita Lei. Two extreme cases are Poshetim, are simple, are understood. The Gemara later will introduce a case, a situation that he wants to question, that wants to investigate, that's not clear to him. In the markings, we featured the words pshita and the word boi with a dot underline to help contrast them. As we go on in what we have noted on the outside margin, we continue. Mi shebo lehischaro. Someone comes to compete. Meir acher asurlo. If he's coming from another city, the people of this town can say, "Don't, you can't compete here." Meoisoi mavui is a second point that's simple, that's understood, and that is if he comes from the same mavui, muterlo, he is able to compete with people in the same mavui. Boile matzav beinayim. What is a question to Rav Huna Rav Yeshua is a middle ground. What's the case? Meoisoi ir. Avol mi mavui acher. He comes from the same town, but from another mavui. Let's see the Gemara inside. Omer Rav Huna Breiver of Shua. Pshito li bar masa abar masa achriti. Member of this town, with regard to a member of an outside town that comes here, motzi ma'akev, the local fellow, can object to the outsider coming to compete. The ishayach b'karga dehocha, if, however, the member from the outside town pays taxes to this community, lo motzi ma'akev, then the other member of this community cannot object to this fellow coming in to compete. Bar mavua abar mavua dinapshe. A member of a particular mavui with regard to another member of the same mavui, lo motzi ma'akev. He cannot object to the opening of competition. This shita is like the Rabbonon that were cited in the source with Rav Shimon Leo, just a few lines up. And at that point, you saw in the source, there's a little bays noted there, where it had said, Ulishcheno eno kifeyu. That means that Rav Huna Rav Yeshua agrees with the Rabbonon, unlike Rav Huna that we saw before, who had been in line with Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Continuing in the Gemara, Boi Rav Huna Braid Rav Yeshua. You notice the dot underlined under Boi. This is in contrast with the term Pshita that you saw a few lines up. This is a matter that we're about to see that's not clear to Rav Huna Rav Yeshua. Which case? Bar Mavua, Abar Mavua Achrina. A member of a particular Mavui is confronted by the member of an outside Mavui, though he's a member of the same town. He wants to come here and compete. My, what's the din? Teku. In the markings, you notice this slashed underline under the word achrina. This was in contrast with the line before where the word dinafshe was similarly noted. Dinafshe means of the same mavui, and achrina means coming from another mavui. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Rav Yosef. Umodi Rav Huna. Rav Huna, who was restrictive earlier, not allowing the member of even the same Mavui to come and compete, he will concede b'mikri dardiki, the lo motzi ma'akev. The term mode or modi you see in a geometric form, and on the side of our Gemara we've noted the explanation behind the marking. Mode, shnei mikrim sheshitois dili'el, moidim shalocha yeshoneh. We're going to be referring to Rav Huna here, and in the second one, referring to Rav Huna Rav Yeshua, where they offer opinions that seem to be a departure from things they had said earlier. Of course, we're talking about different circumstances. The first point mentioned was Rav Huna agrees that in the case of Mikri Dardiki, of teaching Torah to children for pay, the lo motzi ma'akev, if there is already a malamed tinokos in a particular mavui, and a second gentleman wants to open up his educational facility, so the first fellow cannot object. The Rashi says, Umoy de Rav Huna, de Omar Liel bar Mavua, de Uki Rechaya v'chulei, de Is Leg Rav Shimon Liel. We establish Rav Huna held like Rav Shimon Liel that the first fellow can object to the second one coming in. Modihu b'mikri dardiki de lo motzi ma'akev lebar Mavua mi lalameid gamhu hatinoikos. That the first fellow who's teaching the children cannot object to a second one teaching as well. Shemitoch kach, by the fact that there is an allowance for the competition, yizaru b'munasan, the people practicing this profession, namely teaching the children, will be very careful. Shiru zemizeh, they'll be very fearful that they'll receive competition. Diomamar kina seifrim tar b'chokma, because of this fear, so the first guy is going to try to do an extra good job. So by allowing the possibility of a second fellow coming in and opening up, we're going to be guaranteeing higher quality services provided. The Gemara says exactly what we just saw in the Rashi, the Omar Mar, Kina Sofrim Tar B'Chochma. The fear that I'm going to receive competition will motivate me to do an extra good job, hence everyone benefits. Omer Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, Umoide Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua, Bereichon HaMachzirin by Yorois, Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua, who had mentioned before that a member of a given community, we'll call him a member of this town, can object. to a member of another town coming in and opening competition, this restriction is relieved when it comes to Beroichlin HaMachzirin Be'ayorois, Delo Motzi Ma'akev, with regard to people selling cosmetics and other adornments for women, that people in a given town cannot object to outsiders coming in and selling their cosmetics as well. The Omar Mar, Ezra Tikein Lohem Yisrael, Shi Roichlin Machzirin Bayorois, Kedei Shiu Tachshitin Mitsuyin Livnois Yisrael. Part of Takonas Ezra was that cosmetics and other beauty accessories should be available to women at all times. Vahani Mili, when is it that it's mutter? Raduri, that's if the outsider is coming but not setting up shop. He's coming and moving from place to place. Avlagburilo, but to come and set up a shop, that he wouldn't be allowed to do. The eat surbum rabonanhu, if however the cosmetic salesman is a scholar as well, afilu lagburinami, he would even be allowed to set up a formal shop. Kiho the rava, shora lahula of Yoshua Bufadya, lagbure the lokihilsa. Rava allowed them to set up a shop and not spend so much of their time traveling from house to house, which would be very time-consuming and impinge on their Torah learning. The Gemara says, "Delo kiyuchasa" means he allowed them l'fni mishuras adin. He allowed them this allowance that's not l'fi, not according to the letter of the standard law, namely that outsiders are not allowed to set up shops. The halacha provides for this flexibility in the law, and that's what we're calling delo kiyuchasa, this flexibility, that a scholar is allowed to set up shop even though he's coming from an outside community. My taimo, what's the reason for this allowance? Kiva the rabbonaninu, since they're scholars, osu letardu migirsayu, if they are expected to travel from house to house, that would negatively affect their Torah learning. With that, we conclude today's shiur.